The Easter story is really about coming to believe. Not only for the women who came to the sepulcher very early in the morning, but also to you and I. And it's important to realize that coming to believe is a process. We come to believe through the course of our whole lives as we experience the presence of the Lord. And I just invite you to look around at the beauty of His creation all around us. Many people can look at this and thank Mother Nature. And gradually, as we learn and grow, we begin to be able to thank the Lord for all these many gifts. It was women who came to the grave very early in the morning, and they were bringing oils and spices to anoint His body. They expected to find His body in the grave. Their big concern was, how were they going to get to the body, which was in a sealed tomb? The men were all gone. We read on Good Friday that they all forsook Him and fled. One little verse that I didn't read on the service on Friday night, the Good Friday service, talks about a young man, and that young man is probably the disciple John, who is usually not named in the narrative. But we read, now a certain young man followed Him. This is as they were taking Him into the praetorium and where the judgment would be at the chief priest's house. A certain young man followed Him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man and the young men, that is, the people who were there, took hold of Him. And He left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Knowing that you're naked and you put on what little things you believe in the form of a linen cloth, so that people won't know how weak your faith is. That's a picture that John is portraying there. And when He felt like they were going to grab Him and take Him and perhaps throw Him in prison, He fled, leaving even that little faith behind. That's the picture in this story. All of the men had forsaken the Lord and fled. And you remember Peter's denial. Peter, who said, I will always believe in You, I will never deny You, three times denied the Lord. They all forsook Him and fled and denied Him. That's a picture of our inner realization that maybe we're not sure about all this God and religion stuff, and maybe we're not sure about the life after death. And maybe we sometimes feel that perhaps we've been gullible or we've been misled by the church or something like that. It's a process where we come to believe, and part of that process is where we realize we don't believe. We realize we don't believe and we're incapable of believing on our own. And the angel said to the woman, to the women, when they came to the grave, there was angels there. The stone had been rolled away, and the angel said to the women, remember what He said. Remember what He said. On the third day I will rise again, He said, and I go before you into Galilee, and you will see me there. Remember that. Because coming to believe is that we begin to recognize that maybe we can go back and hang on to some of those teachings that the Lord has given us in His Word. Remember what He said. So it was the women who saw the Lord first. Mary Magdalene specifically saw the Lord Himself. But the other women who came to the grave expecting to see the body, and they represent that deep, heartfelt feeling that I wish I could believe. I want to believe. I need to believe. I need the Lord in my life. And so even though they were sure they were only going to minister to the body, they needed to be there. The men, which represent the head stuff, the thinking stuff, the I believe, like Peter said, the men had lost all faith. So here's Mary Magdalene. You know, all of the women flee when the angel tells them that the Lord is risen. They don't know what to think. And they go back and they tell the disciples what they have experienced. And they are amazed and somewhat confused. Mary Magdalene goes back. And there she sees a man she thinks is the gardener. And she said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, that is, if you have taken and moved his body, tell me where it is, so that I can minister to him." And the writings of the New Church don't speak specifically about the meaning of gardener, but we know that a gardener is somebody who tends the gardens, right? And the gardens and the trees that grow and the flowers that grow are all the spiritual states that we experience in our lives. And I believe that the gardener is the working of providence. Mary thinks it's the working of providence here. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know what's going on. She's remembering what the Lord said, and she's perhaps thinking to herself, "I don't know, but I hope that the Lord is bringing good out of this." And when you get to that lowest, lowest spot in your life where you despair of everything and you feel hopeless about all the things you love, it's the thought that maybe the Lord is still with you, bringing good out of it. That gardener, that we see the gardener tending things all around us in our lives. We might remember the way the Lord has helped us in the past. The disciples didn't believe when the women came back. And I want to read John 20, verse 19 through 25, which is not quite all of what's in your reading there. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews." So the disciples had gathered together, locked the door because they were afraid that they were going to be arrested. And Jesus appeared in their midst. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." There's a saying, seeing is believing. And you might wonder why there's this elephant up front here. Well, the angel said to the women, "Remember what he said to you." And we all know that elephants never forget. But that's not why this is here. This is here to remind us that seeing is not believing. Because if you were to look at this picture and you would think about it, you might say, somebody was pretty close to that elephant to get that picture. But you would be wrong, because that person had a very long lens on their camera, and they could stand way back, and they were not in any danger. And you might look at that picture, you could say, wow, there's a picture of an elephant out somewhere in the wilds of darkest Africa. There is that elephant. And you'd look at that picture and you would see all of those bushes and shrubs and grass in the background, and you would say, yes, but you would be wrong, because that picture is photoshopped. That picture was taken in the Johannesburg Zoo. So not only was he able to get fairly close with his long lens, but he could remove the fences and the buildings that were in the background and give you this beautiful picture of an elephant close up in the wild. You know, you just don't know these days. But one thing you can be sure of, seeing really isn't believing. And when people think that, like Thomas, if I put my fingers in my hands or in his side, I would believe. But if your heart isn't in it, you'll find a way to deny it. You know, if your heart isn't in it to say, I really want to believe, then no amount of seeing is going to prove anything. You'll say, yeah, I watched a lady sawed in half once by a magician, right? Seeing doesn't really mean very much. I watched the sun rise every day. But that's not how it is. So we'll read the rest of this passage from John 20. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and put it, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And we can hope that Thomas really did want to believe, but his thinking mind was overtaken or overwhelmed by what he had seen when the Lord was crucified. And the Lord was able to lift that curtain. But the Lord made it clear about seeing and believing when he said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Because if we just believe something in our thoughts, it could be anything. Some people think that it's reason that leads us to the truth. We come to believe because we figure it out. Or we come up with a really strong argument. Or we hear someone else saying, this is how it is, and we say, yes, that makes sense. And so in our thought, we think we understand. But you know how good your thought is when it comes to figuring out the truth? Just go to somebody who doesn't believe any of the things that you believe and have a conversation. They are absolutely sure that what they think is reasonable, and you are a gullible fool for believing what you believe. That's the power of reason. And some people think that faith is just a matter of saying, I believe. I believe because the church says so. I believe because the Bible says so. The Bible says it, I believe it, that's it. I've heard people say that many times. The Bible says it, I believe it, that's it. Let's see what the doctrine of faith says about that in your readings. The heading of this, the first number in the doctrines for the new church, or the teachings for the new church, about faith. Faith is an inner recognition of the truth. You know, you see a tree, you say, oh, it's a tree. Well, I see a building over there, but I see a tree over here. Oh, it's a tree. Inner recognition, right? Faith is the inner recognition of truth. You hear something and you say, that's true. I don't have to think it through. I know it's true. So it goes on to say, nowadays people understand faith to be nothing more than thinking that something is true because the church teaches it and because it is not obvious to the intellect. I knew a woman once who said, I love the things you teach about in the new church, she said, but I'm a Lutheran, and we Lutherans know how it really is, and our doctrines can't be understood. They don't make sense, and that's why they're better than your doctrines. She used to say that to me. So people understand faith to mean nothing more than thinking that something is true because the church teaches it, and because it is not obvious to the intellect. In fact, the common saying is, believe and don't doubt. If someone replies, I don't understand it, people say, that's why you have to believe it. The result is that today's faith is faith in the unknown. It is called blind faith. And since it involves a decree from one person to another, it is faith handed down from the past. And he concludes, it will become clear in the following pages that this is not spiritual faith. So you can have faith when you say, someone else said it, so I believe it. And then you go to church and everyone else is saying, I believe it. And you say, I don't dare say, I don't understand how this is. I don't dare say, I'm not sure I really do believe, even if that's how you're feeling, because you don't want to appear like the person on the outside. So if seeing isn't believing, and reasoning isn't believing, and blind faith isn't believing, how do we get to believing? Well, the whole story of Easter is really about that, because it's a process. It's a process of coming to a state where you don't believe. It's a process of coming to a state where you feel huge grief and sadness over your loss of faith. I really wanted to believe that marriage was eternal. I really wanted to believe in life after death. I really wanted to believe that God is with us every moment, leading and teaching us. I really wanted to believe that providence takes care of everything and brings good out of what seems to us to be the worst possible situation. I really wanted to believe that. You would get to that state, and that's the Lord crucified in the story. And we don't give up and become materialists. And we don't give up and become hedonists, where we just seek pleasure. We don't give up and become atheists or agnostics. We keep going back to where we last saw the Lord. We remember what he said. And in our deepest hearts, we wish we could believe. We wish we could minister to him. And that thing that's in our deepest hearts is the seed that makes faith grow in our mind. Remember how it said faith is the inner recognition of truth? Well, what is it that recognizes it? Our hearts. Our hearts recognize the presence of the Lord in our lives when things are tough. And we begin to believe. Love of use. I may not be able to be sure there is a God, but I'm going to go to work every day and do my best and be a good person. The love of use. Kindness. I see this person in need or suffering. I don't want them to suffer. I wish I believed the Lord didn't want them to suffer, and I'm going to do what I can to help him. That's where the inner recognition of truth comes from. This is the part about coming to believe. You may have heard of 12-step programs. The first two steps in 12-step programs are admitted we were powerless over whatever, eating, drinking, sex. You know, we admitted we were powerless. We get to that state where we can't be good people on our own. And then a second step, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Isn't that a nice thought? We can come to believe. So I want to conclude with one last reading, which isn't on your sheet. It's from the True Christianity, number 2. It's talking about the faith in the heavens, the universal faith in the heavens. And then it goes on to talk about us. It says, for our part, it is universal to faith that we believe in the Lord. For our believing in him gives us partnership with him, and through this partnership comes salvation. To believe in him is to have confidence that he saves, because only those who live good lives can have such confidence. This too is meant by believing in him. And as the word says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.